Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
16, I'm going to look at one verse, which is actually part of the closing exhortation of the first book of Corinthians. I enjoy Corinthians. It doesn't mince words. I don't know how often you've been in Corinthians, if you just read through it once a year or you've spent time in it. I really like how my Bible really breaks down a whole lot in the beginning, the church at Corinth. It goes through this whole entire thing with Paul's letters and all of the, really the sarcasm, the rhetorical questions, alliterations. I mean, it's really deep in how it goes through, but this closing exhortation is tonight, really, to me, it's very encouraging. I like to know what's required of me. If you are going to buy a car and they come in there, and I've seen this happen, they bring in a sheet of paper. And they always want, when you ever, if you're a person that finances cars, they will always talk payment with you. Well, I want to teach you a little trick. Don't ever let them talk payment with you. When they talk payment with you, is the way that they make a lot of money from you. You want to talk dollars. The payment's going to work out itself. But if you talk payment, they can sell you whatever they want, because then they can make it 96 months. How high have I seen them? 72, I know for sure. What's the highest? 96, isn't it? 84. Lord, even so, come quickly. The thought that an auto, right, loan is past 60 months, because 60 months back in the early 90s, of course, that was a lot, because I remember I bought a 1991, my first new vehicle was a 1991 Mitsubishi Mighty Max pickup truck. I paid $89.95 for it. Brand new, 5-speed, beautiful little truck, and I paid $995 to have air conditioning put on it. So it came out to the grand total of just under $10,000. My payment on it was $205 a month, and that was for 48 months, and my insurance, you ready, was $225. I had no tickets, I had no citations, so my insurance was $20 over what my payment was back then. But that was back then. You know, cars were a lot cheaper back then. Remember in 1986, you could buy a brand new Toyota with the R22 motor pickup truck for $6,995. Things have changed, amen? But when you talk about the things that are required, what they'll do on those things, they'll have a payment, they'll say 300 to 350, 360 to 390. And these dealerships will come in to people who are naive, and they will say, where have you been wanting to get your payment to? And what you might as well do is lay down, hand them your checkbook, and say, please take me out to lunch when you get done, because you're just going to literally take me to the cleaners. But sadly, people fall for that, and it is a very sad reality that people don't understand, because I am one, though, that wants to know what's required. Don't put me in the field, as the old Amish friend of mine says, they'll take you around the stump. Anybody know what that means? They're trying to flim-flam you. They took you around the stump. They tried to pull one over on you, pull a fast one on you, is the old saying. I love this, because this is a clear presentation of what's required. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't get any plainer than this. Now, you can expound on this for days, literally, or months for that matter. But I hope you found 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Again, one verse, verse 13. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's word. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word. Father, for the challenge, the encouraging, the exhortation, Father, the conviction that your word brings, and all of the things in between. Father, tonight, do whatever needs to be done in our hearts, not only the ones in this building, Father, but ones watching online right now, but potential in the future months and years ahead. God, use your word for your glory as the promise is. It will not return void, Lord. Pray ones would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior all over the globe tonight as the good news is proclaimed. We ask all this tonight in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So a final exhortation here. The first part of it says, be alert. Be alert for what? You think this is talking about a cultural alertness because people are getting taken at the stores back in Corinth? Do you think they're having issues with their mortgages being defrauded, right? Do you think people are stealing the titles to their cars and their homes, and people are worrying about someone calling up and scamming them out of Social Security because some fella in India has hijacked an Internet Explorer? No, this has nothing to do with anything in the cultural relevance. This is talking about spiritual. We're dealing in the spiritual realm. Most often when the Bible's talking about this, it's dealing with the contextual things of the spiritual sense. Yes, we know how to treat each other, and we should know that you love your neighbor as yourself. And therefore, how does that apply? It applies to the spiritual sense of loving your neighbor as yourself, period. Doesn't mean just love your neighbor, because if you're not a follower of Christ, you can't love in the first place. So we know this is referring, the scriptural things, the spiritual things are referring to spiritual people, the followers of Christ, a.k.a. The first thing I want to share with you comes out of that first part tonight, which is be alert, and it's this: Christians cannot slumber. Now again, I'm not talking about physical sleep. I'm talking about spiritual slumber. I'm talking about spiritual apathy. I'm talking about the old proverbial put it in cruise control, spiritually speaking, because I'm ready for a little spiritual break. The enemy doesn't sleep. He does not take a break. He is relentless. He is unwavering in his desire to do what the word admonishes us is his chore, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. So we recognize the fact that he doesn't sleep. He doesn't need to sleep. He is ardent in his desire to destroy us. Therefore, we can do nothing but be alert. We can't slumber. We have to stay focused. We have to do what God's word says when you talk about the full armor of God, which Ephesians talks about. Very, very important. You cannot stand against the adversary. We cannot stand against the devil's schemes. There's only one way with which we'll extinguish what? All the flaming arrows of the enemy. Have you ever spiritually sat back and watched the intensity of the enemy's attack, so much so that literally it's almost like you could hear the darts being fired? Or is that just me? Anybody else? Literally almost, can you imagine what that sound would be? Anybody else? Me and a couple others? I'll pray the rest of you experience that, so next week you'll shout, yep, amen, Brother Jonathan, I know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe one of your kids will call you up this week and say, hey, I got spiritually attacked and I got obliterated, and it's almost like I could hear. Yes, I hope you all understand what I'm talking about tonight, because if you don't know what spiritual attack is, we need to talk, because you might not be a follower of Christ. Because if you are a follower of Christ living in obedience to the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will know what spiritual warfare is, I assure you. If not in your own self to the level that you remember when you were young, you're probably going to watch that played out in your children. And that's why parents are so heavy as a follower of Christ in praying for your children, because the battle in spiritual warfare is a very real battle. It's a battle, sadly, that many parents have never engaged in the first place. I have met parents that have never once prayed for their future child's spouse. No one's ever talked about it to them. And they said, wow, what an interesting phenomenon. Never even thought about doing that before. The same way that, sadly, I've heard time after time after time again at Longview Baptist Church, when people say, I've never had a pastor in my life encourage me to read through the Bible from cover to cover in a year. What's the problem? I think the problem is there's been so much of this devotional push in pastors, and they don't do that with malice. They don't, honestly, it's done in spiritual ignorance. It's wonderful to read a devotional. To God be the glory. You make sure you're in God's word before you ever touch a devotional, because it's not God's word. God's word's God's word. You can hear what someone else has heard from God, but that's not God speaking to you. That is God speaking to someone else's issue, and that's wonderful if it speaks to you. but don't replace God's ability to speak to you through His Word with God's revelation to someone else. Because you'll run in a serious danger at that point, because what you do is you abdicate the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to speak directly to you, and you begin to believe that someone else's experience is God's spoken experience to you, and it's dangerous. Again, there's nothing wrong with that over and above. You've been in God's Word, you're focusing on the Lord, praise God, it's wonderful. Then read devotionals till you're blue in the face. I don't have an issue with them. Streams in the Wilderness, a great little devotional series. My brother gave me a number of years ago, read it 3 or 4 years. Great, awesome. There's a ton of things that I've read over the years, but that has to be well over and above. When I was in seminary, I'll never forget, some well-meaning pastor and his wife go, "Wow, you know, it's wonderful because you're able to do your Bible reading while you're doing schoolwork." And I went, "What are you saying?" "Yeah, you know, you're in the Bible all the time for school, so, you know, it cuts down because, you know, you're reading in the morning." I said, "No, my reading in the morning has nothing to do with what I'm studying in school. Why don't you work it in culmination, and then why don't you, ready, preach out of what you're studying in school?" I said, "What do you think this is, Sam's?" "No, I'm not going to hijack, because I've gotten lazy, my desire to spend time in God's Word, and let's just roll it in like a Sam's Club or a Costco, and I'll just go ahead and do it all in one nice little failed swoop, so I only have to spend 30 minutes with the Lord or an hour or whatever, instead of having to spend hours in the Word." But see, that's the sad reality of what people's thought processes have gone to. Let's see how we can hijack time with the Lord and find blessing in that. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. God desires time with us. Greatest way you show love for the Lord is what? T-I-M-E. Interesting. L-O-V-E. Four letters. T-I-M-E. L-O-V-E. Four. It's interesting, isn't it? You ever thought about family? Want to show your family love? Show them time. Be present. Sit down and eat. Nobody in here has copious amounts of time, and if you do, well, don't say nothing because others get upset at you. Time. It's an asset that nobody has enough of. But it's a very important asset that needs to be prioritized well, because, again, we can't gain back time that we're given. And that's why tonight, most importantly, we cannot slumber. We cannot abdicate. We can't give away this time and this mandate spiritually to be alert. We've got to stay on our toes all the time. Just like your Ring doorbell, if you have a Ring doorbell, or just like your alarm system on your car, it doesn't sleep unless your battery dies. Well, if your battery dies, when is it going to die? It's going to die when you go to Nashville in the inner city and park on a street in a bad part of town at night. What's going to happen? You're going to come back and have a busted window and have all of your possessions taken out of your car. Somebody recently went to a church function in Memphis. Memphis, you know, notoriously safe. It's one of the enclaves of safe in Tennessee. And sadly, they just happened to be at the one place where somebody broke into all the vehicles. And it's interesting, one of them had a purse on the seat, didn't touch it. You know what the police said they're looking for? Un pistolas, guns. They didn't care about the money. They wanted guns. They broke all the windows out. And you think it happened when everybody's sitting around going, "You know what, we better really be on guard." No. It happened when you're in the safety of a parking garage at a hotel or a convention center, believing that your possessions are going to be safe. Very important tonight spiritually to recognize the enemy doesn't attack when we expect it. He attacks when we don't. Therefore, we have no ability to be not on alert. We have no ability to be complacent and apathetic. That has no place in the life of a believer. Is that spiritually exhausting? Yes, it is. But we have no other choice. So therefore, I encourage you tonight to put on the full armor of God, do what God's Word says, do not slumber, stay vigilant. Then the second part of that, stand firm in the faith, be courageous. We'll stop there. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this, do not waver in your walk with Christ. Be strong. Stand firm in the faith. Don't waver. You are neither what? Bible, we know what it says in Revelation. You're neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. Therefore, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That, to me, makes me nervous. So, brothers and sisters, I want to be hot as a firecracker. Amen? Spiritually? I don't want to be complacent. I don't want the danger of complacency and apathy and indifference, because I know what Scripture says concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody else wants to look and say homosexuality is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Really? Homosexuality was merely the end game of what had happened long before. They were overfed, unconcerned, indifferent, did not care for the poor, so I did away with Sodom and her sister. Go find it in the Word and you'll understand what I'm talking about. But yet what's happened is, in the vacation Bible schools and the Sunday school classes my entire life, all I ever heard was that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. That was merely the final end manifestation of a heart that had long since departed the Lord way before that. When you see someone living out the wicked proclivities of the human condition, you are only pointing to what began long, long, long before. Overfed, unconcerned, indifferent, do not care for the poor. Huh. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Interesting, isn't it? How people can walk by someone in need. Hey, I'll be praying for you. In no way meet the need, not try in any way to help the need. I'm not talking about people that are taking advantage of others. As a matter of fact, if you take and give money to people that are in town panhandling, you are actually breaking the rules. Because what does the sign say in town? Give to charitable organizations that are trying to make a true transforming difference in town. Don't give to panhandlers. There's actually signs. Says that in town. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Don't give to somebody's drug addiction. Give to help them actually eat and actually resources to try to help get them out of homelessness and addiction. Important to recognize these things. Amen? Because it's really easy to become part of the problem instead of part of the solution. See, when you stand as a follower of Jesus Christ, unwavering in your faith, what you're recognizing is there's a danger of being one of them. There's a danger of falling victim to addiction, falling victim to homelessness, because why? I've made some bad decisions, got addicted to something, did whatever, financial decisions that ended up bringing you to the place of despondency and brokenness, and now you are at a place and have lost everything. Be very, very careful, though, to think that that can't be you or can't be me, because it can be. Do not waver in your walk with Christ, because a lot of times it starts with something as simple as stopping reading the Bible. Why? Because it doesn't work anymore, or I'm tired, or I've done that so many times. And, you know, we excuse the blessings of God along with that in our life, and because what does the Bible talk about? The wisdom of God, the leadership of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But do you think for a moment that the blessing of God, the leadership of God, is going to remain on us when we have excused ourselves from hearing Him speak to us and into our lives? You got another thing coming if you think that God's going to continue to bless a disobedience or bless it in any way. As a matter of fact, what God has to do is step back and allow us to fall victim to our own choice to be outside of fellowship with Him. It's the same picture as the Old Testament when someone was put outside the camp. They weren't put outside the camp because they were especially blessed. No, they were put outside of camp because they desired to do things that were out of step with God's desire for their life. And therefore, the consequence of that was that they experienced being outside of the protective envelope of God's providential protection, the providential bubble that you see with even the Israelites in the desert of sin. There was a providential protection within the midst of the body. And then that third and final thing, and then we'll finish up tonight. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And then the third and final thing tonight is be strong, but what? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Don't fall victim to the mindset culturally or in yourself if you're a strong physical person, or maybe you're good with money and you have an innate ability. There's some people that I've met in my life, I'll never forget, a guy told me in the last year, he said, I can fall down in the middle of a bunch of cow manure and I can come up and I have two fistfuls of money. This guy has an innate ability to turn anything into money. And he's quite proud of that. And it was kind of weird sitting there listening to him tell, because it was kind of like he was wanting me to think, you know, oh man, you're really cool. I'm just, to be honest with you, that doesn't appeal to me. I have another person I've known for many years that said, listen, I can have $1 million and go up a power pole. And he said, I'll be broke by dark. That's another person that said, doesn't matter how much money he's ever gotten in his life, he said, he will be broke. It doesn't matter. He said, money just goes out quicker than anything. So you got the one guy that can fall down in a pile of manure and come up with handfuls, fistfuls of money. The other guy can have $1 million on a light pole and be broke by dark. What that really, though, is just the proverbial picture of, hey, it is nothing. It's fleeting. It's literally like sand. Try to hold sand in your hand. Anybody ever tried to do that, by the way? What happens to it? I don't care what you do. It's coming out, friends. There is no way in the world to hold sand in your hand. It's coming out. It's like getting a hold of a handful of fleas. I can't stand fleas. You ever gotten one between your fingers? You ever gotten to wherever you were going to get it to kill it or put it in alcohol? And you did that, and you're like, where'd he go? He's back in the house somewhere. I have a special disdain for fleas. I probably hate fleas a little bit more than I hate flies. But I'm so thankful that I haven't had, by God's grace, to deal with that scourge in a year or two. But I can't stand them. But trying to be strong in the flesh and deal with these things in the flesh, you're not going to do it. It's like trying to capture the wind. The only way that we can be strong is to be strong in the Lord. And what does that require us to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. God's power is made perfect in weakness. That's why I boast in my infirmities, my persecutions, weaknesses, for when I am weak, he is strong. That's what Scripture says. It's not my word, it's God's. What do I know in my almost 50 years of life? God's word's true. There's one thing that I realize, the fleeting mind of me is not getting stronger and more keen. No. Matter of fact, that those times when either your equilibrium gets off or something and you have to grab a wall and you go, oh man, now I understand what those people were talking about when I was young. You start to trip over something and you go, wow, I got over 6 feet to fall. I wanted to be tall when I was young. You short people have something, you're good to go, man. When the older you get, you don't have nearly as far to fall. You don't see them breaking a hip as easy as somebody like me who's got about 5 stories to go down. See, all of these things, interesting how the scales, right? How the seesaw tips. These things that are so nice when you're young all of a sudden aren't so nice anymore. Everybody wants to be strong and go out there and lift and be tough, right? And build and do and begin. You know what happens? Then the weather starts changing, it gets cold, and you start hurting. All of a sudden, all of those human strengths, those human things that made you feel so tough, so invincible, not so invincible anymore. Tonight, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord, because that is true power, that's true strength. Those that mount up on wings like what? Eagles will what? Walk and not be weary, run, not be faint. Praise God. That means that God's going to sustain us. God's going to keep us. God is going to be the one that leads, that guides, that directs. We're not going to get caught in the Gibeonite deceptions when we are not slumbering, spiritually speaking. We are not going to get caught in those deceptions that Samson, if we are strong in the Lord. When we are not wavering in our walk with Christ, we're not going to compromise like Samson did. We're not going to run from God's providential design, his purpose, and his plan like Jonah did, getting upset when somebody wants to repent instead of standing back and rejoicing with that person that wants to repent. We're not going to be in our arrogance, not wanting to do what God wants because God is so gracious with someone else. We're not going to be like the prodigal son, the brother that didn't do anything, that got all upset at the father for killing the fattened calf when the prodigal son came home. Instead of rejoicing with the brother who was lost but now found, he found himself angry, bitter, because the father was rejoicing in the fact that his son had come home. But those are mindsets really easy for us as Christians, especially if you've been, let's say, at Longview Baptist Church serving the Lord for 35 years of your life, steadfastly coming in week out. Then you see the old town drunk or this drug addict that's blown their entire life and thrown everything away that's ever come into their hands. And one night they roll in and they get saved at 75 years old, and a week later they're dead. Anybody in your mind ever thought of what you'd think when you go, you mean to tell me God's going to give them the same blessing of salvation in heaven and all that I get? And I've been going after it for 35, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And they're going into heaven literally in first place, in essence. And they didn't serve the Lord for 10 days. God, that's not fair. Well, there's a parable about it in Scripture, isn't there? God can do whatever He wants to. That person is deserving of salvation as if you got saved at 5 years old. Rejoice. Rejoice that a brother or sister in Christ comes to Christ at the last moment that they possibly could. And realize that that could be you, or that could have been me. That could be your child. That could be your mother, your father. Be thankful. Rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. And finally, Christians can't slumber. Do not waver in your walk with Christ. Be strong in the Lord. Tonight, if you're strong in your flesh, you're in a dangerous place. What does the Scripture talk about? God humbles the exalted and exalts the humble. We know that Scripture talks continually about humility. God honors humility in a big way. Humility is not easy, because humility calls us to bury pride. And pride is a very evil, evil battle that rages in all of us, for that matter. It's really easy, the more successful you become in life and the more blessed you become, to easily step back and go, wow, you know, I'm really starting to do good. Be careful. Pray that God would keep you humble, because any of that pride is pointing at you as opposed to the realization, the true realization, that nothing that we have is because of us in the first place. It's all come from the God of creation, the God that loves us, the God that sent His Son Jesus to die for us. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight, Lord, for Your word. God, thank You, Lord, the call of the gospel.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.